Welcome to the Costume Plot.
I'm JoJo Siu.
And I'm Sarah Tim. We're professional designers with a passion for costume design and the performing arts. Our podcast does contain spoilers. Accompanying slideshows for each movie are linked in the episode description.
We hope you'll join us every other week as we delve into the wonderful world of costume design in the Costume Plot. Hello, and welcome back to the Costume Plot.
Yes, welcome back. This is exciting to be back with our regular episodes. We hope you enjoyed our interview with Farnaz for Avatar. That was a good one.
Yeah, for sure. It's always lovely to have people we now know on the show.
It's like seeing a friend.
It is.
And we switched our schedule because we wanted that one to come out while the buzz about Avatar was still happening. So that's why this episode is coming out later in the month. But next month we'll be back to our regular schedule, we think. We hope. Probably.
Yes. There's been a lot happening this month.
Yeah. Lots going on. Lots of life stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
We're glad you're still with us and thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you no matter how many or few listeners we have. It's nice to have some.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have a theme today, but I guess both of our movies did end up being a little more rom-com this month.
Yeah. Rom-com. You could call them a chick flick if you want. Yeah. That's a good, yeah. My brain
bad
is so
or good,
fried.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
so you're
yeah.
going first, Sarah. What movie are you covering?
I decided to cover The Princess Diaries. And I have Yay. A special shout out because I watched this movie a couple weeks ago at my dear friend Danielle's bachelorette party because it's one of her favorites. So we watched it in sort of like a slumber party setting. It was very fun. And actually, I recorded on my phone a lovely clip of her introing the movie, so I'll edit it in right here.
Hi, this is Danielle, and we're at my bachelorette. We just watched this movie. Please enjoy.
Woo!
Yeah.
Cue.
Click.
Cue link.
But I did that because she is one of my few IRL friends who still listens to the podcast, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, Danielle. And I hope I hope I do your favorite movie justice. It's also one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
Okay, so let's get into it. Princess Diaries. It was released in 2001, directed by Gary Marshall, who was, of course, a legendary director. He did Pretty mm-hmm. Woman, League of Their Own, which I covered in the early days of our show. He was surprisingly like never nominated for an Oscar, which I was shocked by because he's such a huge deal. But I guess he made movies that people actually wanted to see. You know, he made movies that made a lot of money, and lots of times Oscars movies are kind of different. They're not, you know,
are a little more artsy and unique.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not the most popular movies of the day, we'll say. The costumes are by another Gary Jones. And he had some
Gary
pretty,
and Gary.
I know the two Garys. he had some pretty big credits to his name. He did Oz the Great and Powerful. He designed The Tick, which was a TV show on Amazon Prime.
I saw a few episodes of that. That one was so fun. I liked the cartoon because I used to watch episodes of it. But
that's cool.
I didn't know that they made a TV show until recently.
Yeah. He worked with Gary Marshall several times. He also did Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire one. And he had one Oscar nomination, which he shared with Anne Roth for The Talented Mr. Ripley, which is a great movie.
Ooh.
And he also, in addition to this first Princess Diaries movie, he designed the second one, Royal Engagement, which yes. as a teen I saw and was a little bit mad because I was a big fan of the books and they really didn't do any
deviated.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Very much not based on
I didn't
the books
think
anymore.
It was a very good movie in general.
Yeah.
As a sequel, but
I do like Chris Pine. I'm curious to revisit it actually because I think I literally saw it in theaters once and was like, well, I didn't really like that and just kind of washed my hands of it. You know? So I'm curious to see how it holds up.
Yeah.
So, of course, this movie stars Anne Hathaway. This was her, like, her breakout role. And she plays Mia, who is sort of like a nerdy, invisible, she thinks, teenager growing up in San Francisco. And her dad has recently died, and his family is, like, European and very mysterious. And her grandmother on that side comes to visit and tells Mia that, in fact, she, played by Julie Andrews, is the queen of her country, which is called Genovia, fictional. And Mia is actually the princess of Genovia because her dad has passed away and he didn't have any other children. And Mia has, like, been raised in San Francisco by her very arty mother and had no idea that this was what her other side of the family was all about. And so the movie is about her basically deciding if she wants to take this title on, and getting, like, princess lessons from her grandmother. And it's a beautiful story about, like, coming into your own, like, owning yourself, confidence, like, family. It's a very female-centric story, too, which I really appreciated. Like, the female characters have a lot of depth, and it's so good. It definitely holds up. Like, I was excited that it did. Okay. Anyway, all that to say, costumes. Let's look at them.
Yay.
Yay.
The reason we're here.
You know, this is an older movie, so the interviews were not substantial. And even when they did do stuff like oral history of the Princess Diaries, that they didn't interview Gary Jones, which was like, I don't know if he's still with us.
Oh, no.
It seems like he doesn't have a lot of super recent credits, so maybe he's kind of, like, in retirement or something. I don't know. That's just a wild assumption based on nothing. Okay. So here we have Mia in her school uniform. This is basically before she finds out she's a princess. And, yeah, I don't have a ton to say about the school uniforms. I do appreciate, though, you can kind of see in this picture, she does wear Doc Martens with her school uniform. And that is something directly from the book, because I remember reading this book as a preteen and not knowing what Doc Martens were. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of, like, found out because of Princess Diaries what they were. So I did appreciate that they put her in them, because it does feel important to her character. She's kind of like, you know, she's quiet and meek, and she has, like, not a ton of friends. She has, like, one best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But she's kind of already, you know, definitely not a popular kid at her school, but obviously they all wear uniforms.
Right.
And here is her with her best friend, Lily, also in her uniform. And I do like Lily, played by Heather Matarazzo. I like how we can see a lot of her personality, even though, you know, they're both wearing the same thing. Lily has, like, a lot of accessories on that kind of tell us who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely kind of, like, the militant feminist, like, outspoken friend for Mia. And I, you know, love that. So love that funny. For her. Look at this chunky Y2K watch. Oh, I had one of those. and, of course, pre sort of, like, princess makeover, Anne Hathaway is wearing a big, like, frizzy wig that they apparently nicknamed the Beast.
Oh, my gosh.
And I will say, I want to say, can I say something controversial yet brave?
go ahead, Sarah.
Wigs have gotten really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's very clear that people no longer want to spend good money, like, enough money to get good wigs made, because wigs from, like, our era of movies, like Y2K, look better than wigs right now.
Yeah, so, I would agree with that.
Like, sadly. The recent Netflix shows,
most of especially them are pretty obvious, too. Like, it's there's no wiggy. Hiding them.
Yeah. Yeah. This is gorgeous work. Like, you would think that they teased her hair out to get this texture. It looks so good. And obviously she's the lead, but, like, I've seen some shows recently where the lead is not looking right. So,
yep.
We can figure our priorities, Hollywood, and let's get some more good wigs on screen, because I've had it.
That makes such a huge difference, too. Like,
it does.
It takes away the reality of the character, sadly. And it's also the least valued, which is sad.
I know. Oh, the worst.
Come on, Hollywood.
Okay. So the other thing that they did I have a, no, I don't have a close up of her face. Shoot. She has really bushy eyebrows, a pre makeover, and they did apply those. Like, ooh, they applied it like hair by hair. It's not just like makeup and pencil, because there is a close up while she's getting her makeover done of her eyebrows being plucked. And they look, I'm not going to say they look impeccable in the close up, but you can tell that a lot of work was done to try to make them look realistic. So I thought that was interesting. Okay. So I'm doing this in kind of movie order. So then we meet Mia's mom. Yeah. And I was just obsessed with this kind of like granny square top that she's got on. I love a costume that really communicates exactly who the person is, like with just like one look, because her mom is like a painter, and her wardrobe definitely reflects that she's kind of, you know, she's not a regular mom. She's a cool mom. She's very eclectic, very artsy, vintage looking, you know, very, very San Francisco. Yeah. Okay, so here's another shot of her mom in some painted jeans. I really liked these while I was watching it. And then I will say it was hard to find images for this movie because I got as HD of screen caps as I could find. Otherwise, there's really not much. Like, the promo images were really sparse and hard to find. Yeah.
I had the same problem with my movie.
I did my best. But also, like, side note, I'm obsessed with their house. They live in like a firehouse, like a refurbished fire station in San Francisco. And just the set design is so good. It makes you want to live there. It's beautiful. Okay. So then, of course, we're introduced to the impeccable Julie Andrews playing Queen Clarice. And toward the beginning, it's emphasized a lot that she's still in mourning because her son obviously has died recently. So she wears a good amount of black at the beginning of the movie, especially. Yeah, so, you know, pretty classic, clean, older lady looks we're serving. Let's see. Oh, they made a lot of clothes for her, which is not surprising because she was like a huge name. And it did say in the one sort of like interview I could find, it said that she had a lot of she collaborated with Gary Jones on her costume. So she had a lot of say in what she wore. And I think that also makes sense. You know, Julie Andrews is like literally a living legend. So that's kind of the treatment that you get when you are a living legend. And he said that they paid homage to some of the classic designers like Chanel. He said several Bill Blass inspired items. And then there's some specific inspiration for like the fancy looks later on that I will get into. But yeah, just beautiful, clean. I will say I'm saying a lot of side notes. Julie Andrews is the one celebrity that I think if I met in real life, I wouldn't be able to hold it together.
Yeah, she's pretty fantastic.
I don't think I could.
I mean, so much of us, I feel like at least our age, we grew up with her for so long, and she was such a big part of our lives that it's hard to separate that.
And you just know she's, like, lovely in real life, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just feel like she'd be so kind that I would immediately start crying.
I can't believe I love met her. You in real life.
I love her so much. Okay. So here's just another shot of Mia in their beautiful home that I want. And I liked these PJs. She has a couple of cute sets of PJs that she wears. These ones are covered in, you can't even see it. I should have gotten one of the closer shots. Maybe I'll replace this with one of the shots where you can tell what the print is, but it's cats. Because they have a cat named Fat Louie. So she's like, you know, a young cat lady. I just thought it was cute. I like cute PJs. So then we meet Michael, who is Mia's love interest and Lily's brother. And he kind of works at this like mechanic shop. I was going to pull the name of this mechanic and I totally forgot. It's like Louie or Harry or
something.
But I really liked his jumpsuit. And that's why I grabbed this picture.
Love that pinstripe.
Yeah, the stripe was just like really nice. Mm-hmm. It adds some visual interest to something that is like a really expected garment for a mechanic to be wearing. Just adds a little bit of texture, a little bit of visual interest. Some nice distressing happening here. He looks great. Michael, I have nothing to say. This is
pretty straightforward. I
have nothing to say about that. Yeah, it's a shirt on top of another shirt. Okay, so then here's Lily again. Oh, and I grabbed this because this is introduction of this character, Jeremiah, who I don't think speaks at all, but he's in a lot of the scenes, mm-hmm. and he's very visually distinctive.
Yeah.
Which is why I grabbed a picture of him. I love his, like, cherry bomb hair. Mm-hmm. It looks so good. And it goes with his Argyle sweater vest. And that's it.
That's all the notes we need.
That's all I got. Yeah, I think he's a fun character, and I wish that he talked. Although, that's kind of fun, because that's almost like a role reversal, where lots of times in male-centric movies, like, a woman is kind of there just for decoration. Mm-hmm. So, Jeremiah is just for decoration. All right. So then we get to the princess makeover scene. And if you're a young person on TikTok, this audio has been used a lot of like, I present to you a princess. And Danielle told me that she's going to make a video like that for her wedding, which is going to be real cute. But anyway, so on the left, we have Paolo, whose suit we cannot see because it is black. And these are his two helpers, and they have names, and I can't remember them. One of them, it's like Helga and Elga or something.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
But I loved their outfits. Mm-hmm. They have these, like, vinyl snakeskin dresses? Jackets? Dress jackets?
Tunic jackets?
Yeah. It's this interesting sort of, like, split at the side design, and underneath is a lipstick print satin dress, which is so fun.
That is really fun.
So specific, because, you know, their makeup, their glam squad. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if this is something that this fabric is something that they found out in existence, or if they had it custom made, mm-hmm. or what the story is with that. I don't think we'll ever know, sadly.
Gary Jones, where are you? Answer our questions.
Gary, reach out. Get in touch.
We just want our questions and answered.
You can kind of see in this picture's the eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Not very well, though. That's on me. I had a lot of pictures. But anyway, I just love these. It's almost like James Bond or Austin Powers sort of vibes with these two characters.
It does feel a little mix of 70s and 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's just like a little bit of camp in the middle of like kind of a normal mm-hmm. teen movie, I would say. Okay. So then we are at the school after Mia has been kind of outed as the princess to the press. And so Queen Clarice has to come visit and talk about security and stuff. And then so on her right is Principal Gupta, played by the incredible Sandra Oh, who is now way more famous than she was when she was in this movie. But she's doing incredible work in this movie. She's so good. Mm-hmm. She's literally so funny. And I really like her outfits. You know, they're very just like regular sort of like working woman outfits. But there is a fun use of color and pattern with her where you can tell she's kind of like, she's not like a super buttoned up principal. She's kind of like relaxed. Mm-hmm. And she's very funny in this scene.
It's and funny then, that both of them have like the rectangular panel.
You're right. Well, in this is the scene where Principal Gupta is like fawning all mm-hmm. over the queen. She's like, can I get you more tea? Like yeah. doing hand flourishes and stuff. And it's very silly. So it's funny that they're kind of visually yeah. kind of tied together in that little subtle way. I don't have much to say about this Julie Andrews look, but I do think she looks great in peach. Mm-hmm. They kind of have her in a lot of sort of peachy apricot tones in this movie. I think maybe that's a color that Julie Andrews likes on herself, mm-hmm. you know. Okay, so then this blue dress is one of my absolute favorites of all time. It has stuck in my memory in a big way since I was 10 when this movie came out. Mm-hmm. It's really like Regency looking to me. So this dress is made from a 4-ply periwinkle silk crepe. I love a crepe. Mm-hmm. And it's he said that it's kind of a nod to sort of period looks. Like, he says Renaissance and Romeo and Juliet, and I understand where he's coming from, but I also kind of disagree. I think it looks more Regency than either of those periods. And I have, let's see, this is the fullest body shot I have, and I'm sad. I'm sad and I'm sorry. I looked just so hard. There aren't good shots of this dress anywhere. Mm-hmm.
There never are. It's always the favorite ones that are never visible.
Well, and it's, I have a little thing later about their tiaras, and their tiaras have been kept in the Disney archives. And this dress is just like off in the ether somewhere, like being rented out. Like, where is it? It's never been on display anywhere. Like, I guess it's less a big deal to other people than it is to me personally.
Yeah, it's true. Apparently no one else is bothered but us.
Yeah. But the other thing about this dress is that it is inspired by a gown worn by Princess Victoria of Sweden when she attended the Nobel Prize ceremony in 1997, which I have a photo of. Look at that. Ooh. It's like the same dress almost. Ooh,
that is really beautiful.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really fun little, like, obviously, you know, most people are not going to know that reference, but it is a pretty exact reference. So mm-hmm. I didn't know that it's based on something from real life.
Yeah.
And I think that that's cool. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
There's also parts of that high empire waist that remind me a little bit of My Fair Lady.
Yes. And oh, thank you.
Because I think she's got that like kind of high collar, but she's got the really high empire, like white dress.
So what's funny about that is Julie Andrews originated the role of Eliza Doolittle on Broadway. Mm-hmm. So there are intentional references in this movie to My Fair Lady, because it is kind of, know, you could call any makeover story a Pygmalion story, which is the story that My Fair Lady is based on. You know, it's like a experienced tutor teaches, you know, young kind of not classy girl how to be classy.
Novice. That's
like, yeah, that's like the base of it. And Gary Jones said that this dress in this same screenshot worn by Julie Andrews is based on one of her looks from My Fair Lady. And I think it's the it's probably the one that she wears to the ball. I don't know what hers looked like on Broadway. I just know the Audrey Hepburn one. Mm-hmm. But it looks similar to the Audrey Hepburn one that she wears as like her debut at the big ball.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of too.
And then about this one, she says it's made of silk gauze. Okay, this is a confusing sentence. It's made of silk gauze and beads, which was handmade in China and arrived in the nick of time to complete the dress. I'm like, what was handmade in China? The beads or the gauze? The beaded gauze? I think it was the beaded gauze.
Must have been the beaded gauze.
Yeah.
That sounds more plausible and like a top layer that would have been separate.
It's just like a poorly written sentence that doesn't really communicate what they're trying to communicate. But anyway, it's gorgeous. I wish I had more photos of it, but I had to make some cuts. And now I'm like, did I make the wrong cuts? Should I put a close-up? I don't know. Maybe I'll put some close-ups on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
Just not Instagram. Because Instagram, I'm so limited, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so then there's a day where, for bonding, Mia shows Queen Clarice around San Francisco. So this is one of that scene. And it's just like another sort of classic look from her. I love this printed like silk scarf, and then, you know, Anne Hathaway rocking the classic Y2K era outfit. She wears this hat in a lot of scenes, and I do not like it. After she gets her makeover, she uses it to hide her hair because she doesn't want anybody at school to notice that she's gotten beautiful. And it's like a
problem to have.
I know. What a burden. I look like Anne Hathaway. Oh no. Like, don't look at me. It's just like a fuzzy gray felt bucket hat. And I think it's ugly. I'm sorry. I don't like bucket hats. There's maybe like 5 people in the world where I've seen them wearing a bucket hat. And I'm like, that looks really cute. Most of the time, it just looks a little bit goofy. Mm-hmm. And to each their own. to each their own. Wear what you want.
Doesn't Goofy actually wear a bucket hat at some point?
I bet he does.
I feel like I've seen Goofy with several bucket hats.
He has bucket hat energy for sure.
Yeah.
I bet that Max does. Oh, yeah. I feel like, isn't there a hat you can buy at Disneyland that is a bucket hat and it has Goofy's ears on it?
I think maybe that's why. I think that's the association.
Maybe that's what we're thinking of, yeah.
Couldn't tell you.
I'm not really a goofy kind of lady. I'm not really into Goofy. Okay. So, yeah. Love it. Great. Nothing else. So then, because Mia has sort of, newfound popularity, she gets invited to this, beach party that all the cool kids are going to. And so this is a scene of her trying on her tankini swimsuit. Didn't we all have one of those? I know I did.
So cute.
Such a Y2K thing. Uh-huh. And she says in this scene that she looks like an asparagus because I think it's because of the color.
And maybe the texture a little bit.
Yeah, the texture is interesting. It's a mixed animal print, I think. It's zebra mm-hmm. up here and leopard down here. I don't know that I think this is the most attractive bathing suit in the world, but I do think it looks like it's of the time. So, mm-hmm. so that's fine. Love. Ugh, look at her mom's outfit, too. She's literally just sitting in a chair in the scene, and she's wearing the cutest patchwork dress and clogs. I want her wardrobe.
Artist. Yes.
You know that Gary had a lot of fun with her, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, I have not mentioned yet that Mandy Moore is in this film as mean girl Lana. And at this beach party, she obviously performs a song because she's Mandy Moore. And Mandy Moore will always be singing on screen whenever appears. And once again, straight out of the Delia's catalog, mm-hmm. all three of these girls.
All those paisley skirts are just giving me really bad throwbacks.
The paisley skirt that is hitting at that specific point, uh-huh. right under your belly button.
And then the handkerchief halter top.
Yes.
That I never had the guts to wear, but saw everyone else wearing.
Can I tell you, I bought a halter top recently because there's this brand I love that makes these tops that have these built-in bras where for the first time Ooh. As a big-chested person, it's actually supportive mm-hmm. enough. And they have a halter top. And I was like, I'm going to buy that to heal my inner child because that's exact. I was never brave enough and to wear a halter top.
It's a risky top, you know, when.
Yeah. You have to have
a lot of body dysmorphia. Confidence.
Yeah. So I'm so excited. It's going to be halter top summer for me. I'm going to be a menace just I wearing my halter top. I hope to see
lots of pictures, Sarah.
Okay. It's so cute. It's like spring green. I love it. Anyway, mm-hmm. that all that to say, it's clearly these outfits have transported us to a place mm-hmm. where we remember being at this time in 2001. This is Joe with Mia's neighbor, whose name is Mr. Robitussin. For some reason. And he is always outside in his side yard in a robe, in a bathrobe. And I just think it's really funny. He's a TV writer. He writes for soap operas. Mm-hmm. And so his character trait is that he's always writing a script about the people around him. So he's a very funny little side character. And this is a great robe that looks very 90s. Oh, there we go. It's not letting me zoom in. There we go. It looks like terry cloth.
I was just going to say that.
It looks nice and heavy. Heavy mm-hmm. cotton terry cloth.
They clearly, don't make them he's lived in it for several days, possibly mm-hmm. weeks.
I know they don't make them like this anymore because mm-hmm. my dad has been wearing the same robe since my parents got married.
Oh, my goodness.
I asked my mom, I was like, wait, really? Still? And she's like, still. And I'm like, what if we could replace it with something, you know, we could look for a dead stock one that's similar. And I can't find anything that is. And he's not going to change to another robe unless it's exactly like this one.
Oh, gotcha.
She's bought him new robes over the years and he doesn't. I know. It's crazy. Anyway.
Quality has gone down. Quality's gone down.
I love you, Dad. That's nutty behavior. let us buy you a new robe. Okay. Mia decides that she doesn't want to be the princess and kind of runs away and then changes her mind. And they find her outside in a rainstorm in her convertible because it broke down because it's a piece of crap. And so she's wearing just like a t-shirt, jeans, and a hoodie when she's running away. And then so she has to go to the big ball at the end of the movie where it was going to be like where she announced whether or not she was going to take the title. And so she ends up announcing that she's going to take the title in her wet street clothes. And what's funny about this is I don't have a before shot of before she got wet, but the hoodie changed colors. Like it got a lot darker. And the girls at the sleepover at the bachelor party were like, that hoodie is so clearly dry. that like they tried to make it look wet by darkening it, I think.
By just giving her a darker hoodie. That yeah, was a different like, hoodie.
I mean, like, that's a kind of a good place to start, yeah. I think, to be like, this is soaking wet, so it would be several shades darker. Like, yes, but it's also so clear that it's not wet. But you can't have your actress standing there soaking wet for, you know, a full 5-hour shoot mm-hmm. or however long it takes. So even longer than that, probably. So I understand why they make those choices.
Well, and now they have glycerin that you can just add on to costumes that doesn't yeah. make them feel sopping wet, mm-hmm. but gives the effect of wetness.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good job, Hollywood, coming out with new products to cheat the way.
It is funny how much fake stuff gets invented for you know, movie making stage and fake stuff. It's funny. So true. Like I have fake, you know, I have fake dirt.
Yep. Yep. Fake dirt, fake blood.
Yeah.
All the things.
So of course this is Queen Clarice in her gown for the ball. And I do have several notes about this. He says that this one is inspired by Dior mm-hmm. and you can kind of tell the classic Dior silhouette is, you know, nipped in waist, really big skirt. So definitely looks like a nod to sort of 50s, 60s silhouettes, which of course that's where Julie Andrews fits right in our memories. Right. So it makes sense. And then I have a lot of notes about the jewelry. So I'm just going to read this. The tiara and jewelry Andrews wears during the final scene consists of $500,000 worth of diamonds loaned to the production by Harry Winston.
Oh my gosh.
Harry Winston himself, I think.
Wow. I mean, for Julie Harry Andrews. Harry Winston,
the man. Makes sense. Like, I'm saying, living legend. She's like, Harry Winston, I got him on my freaking phone. Yeah. You call him. Like, I
have him on speed dial.
Yeah, we're besties. We have tea. Like, wouldn't surprise me at all. So Gary Jones worked closely with Harry Winston on the jewelry. A lot of wattage going on for the ball. We accessorized the gown with an extraordinary diamond and platinum necklace, which was almost 100 carats of diamonds, along with classic cluster earrings, which were about 3 carats each.
Oh my gosh.
That is a lot of carats. Like,
that's like
yeah.
a major wedding ring on your ear.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a really one major wedding
big
ring.
Wedding yeah. ring on each ear.
And so, because that's a lot of money, Harry Winston hired a security guard to be at the set every day, mm-hmm. just whose job was basically just like to protect the jewels.
Yeah, yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. Anne Hathaway's tiara, which we'll see in a minute, was less expensive and they made it out of cubic zirconia. Mm-hmm. And both of the, all of the crowns that they wore are being preserved by the Walt Disney Archives. They were inducted in 2016 to commemorate the film's 15th anniversary. So I thought that was interesting. I'm like, where were they before that?
Yeah.
Just like sitting around
in a bag somewhere.
Probably not the necklace. I think the necklace yeah. and the earrings were the ones that were on loan. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're beautiful, obviously. Like, hello, great job. Great
humongous,
work.
Humongous, humongous. I do also yeah. love the shoulder detail on this, that it goes so seamlessly yes. into her.
Yes, it looks like a collar, and then it's also yeah, it's not.
But it's like also winged. I don't know.
Just yeah,
really beautiful work. Good job. Good job, yeah. seamstresses, oh cutters, drapers.
It really complements her figure. Mm-hmm. It makes her look so graceful. And then I also like this is the assistant. I forget what her name is. It's like Laura or something. I don't know. I'm just making up names today. And I really liked this shape of her bodice on her gown. And I think that this has also come back in style in a major mm-hmm. way. This almost like apron shape, for lack of a better word, where it comes up really high. Yeah. It's kind of square. I think that's really trendy right now.
That feels very Y2K as well, actually.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. All the Y2K mm-hmm. stuff is back. It's back, and it doesn't make me feel old. It makes me feel nostalgic and happy. I liked seeing teens wearing stuff that I was wearing. It's like so cute.
I think the 90s felt a little bit more like I was a little sad that it came back in the way that it did.
It felt a little, because we were younger than we are now, so it felt a little too real. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm an adult now. That's what being an adult is.
I think also the way that we retrended the 90s was not, I was not a huge fan of.
Yeah, I don't know if we did it correctly. Sometimes it's like you didn't pick the right things for the era to yeah, make come
you
back.
Chose all the wrong things to bring back this time around.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not going to go back to wearing bootcut jeans that drag on the floor behind me and literally rip. Mm-hmm. But to each
I had
your
so
own,
many jeans with
it.
Holes that were just like dragging trails
ragged.
Of
like
of
when
fabric
it would
on
rain, it was just like soaked 6 inches mm-hmm, up the hem. Mm-hmm. No thanks. I'm not
don't
doing
need to
that
do
anymore.
That again.
Yeah. Okay. So then, of course, finishing with Mia's gown at the ball. This is such a good costume. Not just because it's gorgeously made; mm-hmm. it looks incredible on her. But I think they made the right choice where they picked a very classic silhouette. That's like this is literally never going to go out of style. Mm-hmm. This kind of dress, so it looks very timeless. Mm-hmm. But she also still looks young, which is like an awesome, that's a hard balance to strike. So they definitely achieved it. I love the choice of using like an embroidered, I think this is like an embroidered organza. Mm. Perhaps, maybe
I can see a little bit of that. It's hard to tell because there's some, I'm sure there's layers and layers underneath there too.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, it is. You can tell down here at the hem that it is sheer, so I think it is organza, or maybe it doesn't look, it looks like bouncy, too bouncy to be chiffon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Organza holds its shape a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't have notes like I did about Julie Andrews' dress for this dress, so we can just make our own assumptions.
We can just say it's pretty.
Yeah. Beautiful. Her tiara is gorgeous, and Clarice gives her the tiara and says that it was like her first tiara, so it's a special, like, it's supposed to look kind of old, I think, because it's being handed down to mm-hmm. her. Gorgina, I love. And then I just grabbed a shot of the both of them so that we can see Julie Andrews, the bottom of her dress, and how big the skirt is. And then them just, like, next to each other. Obviously, it's not a very high-quality image, but it does show you kind of like the silhouette, and I think it's so nice. I wanted to grab pictures of like Lily and Michael and her mom all at the ball, but none of them have a shot wider than shoulders, pretty much.
Yep.
And there's no images out there of like all of them just like in their dance outfits. Mm-hmm. So I'm sad about that because it looked like Lily's dress was really mm-hmm. cute, but. Oh, well.
I don't remember Lily's dress. I have to go back and rewatch the movie.
It's black, and it also has kind of like the squared off neck, but it had this fun, like it cut like on the side boob, and it like had a low back. Mm-hmm. So it was like really open and cute. But anyway, I think that's all. Yeah, that's all the notes I have.
Yay, Sarah.
That's it. Yay.
Great job.
Thanks. I was at that Bachelorette and I was like, I've been wanting to cover sort of like another Y2K era movie like I love to do. And I was like, this is the perfect opportunity. I'll just take notes during this film.
I thought about doing 10 Things I Hate About You. I actually thought about doing Pretty Woman as well, but that would have been funny.
Been
we would have
Gary
had
Marshall
the same costume designer. Or director, I mean.
Yeah. I love Pretty Woman. That movie's so good.
It's been a while since I've seen it. And I don't even know if I actually saw it in its entirety. I think I've only seen like snippets. So it was on my list.
I think about the brown polka dot dress that she wears to the horse match.
Mm-hmm.
Polo? To the polo match. I think about that dress all the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love Pretty Woman.
Yes. All right.
Okay, so what are you going to cover?
I'm covering another rom-com. This was also, I wouldn't say it was her breakout role, but Katherine Heigl, I did 27 Dresses. It wasn't quite a Y2K movie. It was 2008, which I realize a lot of the silhouettes from 2008, I was not a fan of.
Yeah.
I do not remember that time being very fashionable.
It was a tough time for fashion.
Yeah. And that they definitely, I mean, like Katherine Heigl looks good in whatever she wears, but I definitely feel like there were some fairly frumpy looking outfits in this movie. So I don't have a ton of like big notes. And I also really couldn't find very much. To be honest, this movie didn't do super well.
Oh, really?
It's kind of, I mean,
my friends,
it's kind of like, it is a fun rom-com, but it was sort of one of those movies that I feel like, it's kind of received more of a following now, I think, than when it first came out.
Yeah.
But it did premiere in 2008, and it was directed by Anne Fletcher, who we've met before. She did Hocus Pocus 2. She also did This Is Us, Love. Okay. Love Victor, not Love. I just had a comma after
Victor,
it. Yes.
Yeah,
she did Love Victor. She also did the TV show Dumplin', which I actually really liked. She also did Hot Pursuit, The Proposal, Step Up. Oh. So she's got some big credits under her name. She also is an actress. So it's interesting kind of having that perspective of being able to talk with the other actors. And I think she definitely had a lot of fun collaborating with her team. The costume design team is listed as two people, but I think it's predominantly Catherine Marie Thomas, who we know for Kill Bill, both volumes. She also did The Proposal with Anne Fletcher. She's also done Mr. Robot, Hot Pursuit. She actually was a 2010 winner, I think, for CDG for Grey Gardens, for the newer Grey Gardens.
Oh, okay.
And then she also did The Heat, White Collar. She also did Whip It, which I thought was cool.
Whip It's one of my favorites.
And then the new, the newer, like, American My Sassy Girl, which I'm trying to remember if I ended up seeing it. I saw the original Korean movie, which I loved.
Okay.
So I was a little hesitant and not really interested in seeing the American version, but
but
she did the costumes for that. And then the other costume designer they listed on there was Deborah Rochelle, who only really had two credits on there, so it makes me think that she might have possibly stepped in as a co-designer sort of later and maybe started as an assistant or like a higher up assistant is what I'm guessing, because she's only credited with obviously 27 Dresses, but also Prom Night, which was the only other one I recognized. And then like a more obscure, I want to say like mini series or something that she did. So there really isn't a ton of interviews. There was one interview I found that really just talked a little bit about Anne Fletcher's perspective. If you don't know this movie's premise, it's basically, it focuses on Katherine Heigl, who's sort of like the sweet, hardworking girl who just falls in love with weddings from a very young age and just realizes that's her calling in life, is to help brides get whatever their dream vision for their wedding is. As a bridesmaid and never the bride, because she doesn't, it's another kind of women empowerment, learning to stand up for yourself a little bit, but a slightly more realistic to gain confidence in her natural ability to want to help.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily downplay her like kindness and compassion. Of course, she's deeply in love with her boss, ends up tragically falling in love with her very selfish sister. In the midst of all that, of course, Katherine Heigl has her own little love story with James Marsden, who I love so much.
Love him.
Very underrated. I did not like a lot of his outfits in this movie because they were, I mean, he's supposed to be a journalist that writes for a wedding column, essentially, which is how they end up meeting. Yeah. But a lot of his outfits are very schlubby. So yeah. Anyways, but those are most of the notes I had. The one thing that I did want to mention, because of course, being in all these different weddings, the big title of 27 Dresses is literally the fact that Katherine Heigl has been in 27 weddings, and all of them are anything from the ugliest wedding dress to a themed Gone with the Wind wedding dress to, you know, the Las Vegas tiny, like,
oh yeah,
pencil dress.
The, like,
So a lot of this movie did focus on all the kind of crazy dresses that they had for different weddings. And so there was a lot of information about kind of where Katherine Marie Thomas sourced from. Like, she bought a lot of, she got a lot of inspiration from, like, just reading about actual weddings that were kind of really out there. Some of them were written the script, but she also ended up getting a few off of eBay and, like, just random online sources.
That's so interesting.
But the quote I wanted to leave everyone with before we get into all these costumes is from Anne Fletcher, the director who gave Katherine the directive. "I want them big, ugly, and bright. Every color palette. You have to get the ugliest things. You don't have to be fashion forward." So it gave Katherine a lot of flexibility, not necessarily to pick things she would like, but to kind of get into the brain of all these different brides who would have literally wanted all these random things. The one thing that I thought was really interesting is that they actually, Katherine quoted that they actually had to get the dresses to look ugly on Heigl, because again, Katherine Heigl looks beautiful in anything. They literally had to add, like, more tulle and flowers and, like, a really weird hat to random dresses just to make it look kind of, like, out there. So, yes. Anyways, I will move quickly on to our costumes so we can get started.
I believe this is a rom-com that makes me cry, and it's specifically James Marsden's performance, like, toward the end of the movie. He's so good that he really just gets me every time.
Yeah, he's a sweetie. I think his speech at the end was the only thing that made me cry in this movie, too. So
the speech at the end, and then the look on his face when, you know, spoiler alert, they're at their own wedding. Oh, my God. Yes. Like,
so good. Again, such an underrated actor. I just really feel like this was a good choice.
He's getting some time to shine because he was in Jury Duty, and he's so funny in Jury Duty. I would encourage anyone who hasn't seen it to watch it. It's the most most unique show I've ever seen.
I heard about it, but I hadn't actually watched it yet.
It's so cool. It's so good, and he's so funny in it. Yeah,
you gotta check it out. Okay, so I kind of went... I don't know if I even went in, like, order. I think I just went in, like, dress order, maybe, kind of. This does start off the movie. She starts off the movie, actually, in two weddings on the same day. So she is literally running back and forth, changing into two different dresses that are completely different.
Full Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes, very much so. And you can see, again, where they added the random tulle and, like, the really ugly waistband here.
The big collar. The
huge collar. They actually, like, referenced it as the Elvis collar. Because they had to, again, they had to make it look ugly because they said they put the dress on and she looked like she was on the runway fashion show, which I thought was hilarious.
Too beautiful.
I chose this initially because, again, like, they're not meant to look pretty, but I also, like, this whole detail is just, it just looks like it wasn't put together well either. So that was the other thing. I was mostly looking at a quality of this work because, like, even if you're in an ugly bridesmaid's dress, usually it's such a high, like, what's the right word? It's such a fancy event that you would still have good quality craftsmanship, I would hope, on your dresses.
I would hope. Yeah, it depends on where you buy it from.
True.
What the price point of the wedding is.
So my comments on this dress, of course, were that, like, I'm trying to remember if I found another picture of it. You can't really see it in this picture, but, like, this literally just looks like she ripped a huge hole on one side.
Oh, I thought that was, like,
it's actually a cutout.
Light.
It's a cutout.
Oh, that's weird.
But, like, it's like a flap that's stitched on top of the white underneath. So I wanted to pull this because I thought it was such a great shot of what's actually underneath this dress, because we don't often get to see that. But also the fact that the other seam on her other boob is like super puckery. And like, I literally could not stop staring at that, even though there was a giant ugly collar on top. So yes, just some interesting comments about craftsmanship. Grab the shot of James Marsden, because a lot of his clothing in this movie, again, he's supposed to be a journalist that gets invited to these weddings to write about them and to write about these like fantastical stories of how these, you know, people met. And so he gets very involved in the stories of these different couples, but he's actually quite cynical about weddings in general.
Right.
So it does feel a little bit like, I get where they decided to make him look a little schlumpy, just because, you know, he has a very low view of weddings in general. Like, he's pretty much going because his boss makes him go and write these stories. Mm-hmm. But it almost does feel like his outfit was chosen to reflect his attitude about weddings. Like, it's always it's always like a very casual, like unbuttoned button up with like a t-shirt underneath in most of his scenes. Like, this is probably the most dressed up he gets, and even then it's, you know, like the pants don't look super well fit, everything looks a little bit baggy and not quite, you know, again, granted, James Marsden is much more fit these days, but like, it just looks very schlubby on him in general.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, sort of does give us that, like, it's almost opposite to the kind of character we think of now that we've seen him in so many things. But I think at this time, he was sort of just the charming, casual kind of boy next door a little bit, but also kind of jilted boy next door.
Knew him as the guy that Rachel McAdams doesn't pick in The Notebook, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
he's always kind of like the rejected.
Yeah.
Like, he's not charming, but he's not like, he's not the lead. He's not the leading man.
And I think that's criminal, because he's clearly such a good leading man.
Agreed.
I like the less traditional leading man myself.
I do too. And there's much more of a realistic charm, I think, to him in the way that he dresses in this movie. All right, so then we move on to when Katherine Heigl's sister Tess comes to visit, and she is supposedly a fashion designer.
Yeah.
But what we don't find out until later is that she's actually gotten fired. So she comes back to visit Katherine, sort of with the secondary motivation, I guess, of having a place to stay and trying to restart her life, because she's also been dumped by her boyfriend. And this is also one of those, like, each sister is jealous of the other sister, but they'll never admit it until the very end, where everything falls apart.
Of course.
But I wanted to pull this picture because this, again, feels very 2008. this definitely feels very 2008, but they definitely dressed Katherine a little bit more schlubby, whereas Tess is always showing a lot more skin. She's definitely a lot more kind of fashion forward for this time, as fashionable as you can be. But I did really find some of these little details really interesting. Like, this does feel very 2008, but I loved the little kind of pleating that they put over top of like the halter. And then it kind of crisscrosses in the back. But the thing that I don't have a back shot, unfortunately, but the straps actually go outside of the shirt as opposed to going into the shirt. Which was also a trend where they were like clearly visible on purpose. Again, another detail I'm not a huge fan of, but
I feel like that always distracts me when I watch this movie. This top came up and I was like, oh yeah, that top. Yeah. And I feel like it just bothers me.
Yep.
But now I remember that's why.
But it is definitely of this time. So I feel like this movie definitely dates itself for a lot of the clothing that was selected. Interestingly enough, Katherine Heigl actually, like, she kind of goes back and forth between wearing like a lot of kind of neutral black and whites, especially when she's in the office. But then when she's kind of out and casual, she's always wearing really vibrant, I shouldn't say out and casual, because there are scenes in the office where she also wears a lot of floral blouses, but her other outfit choice is always some sort of bright floral either small or large, which I'll have a couple pictures of as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Tess in the club. Yeah. So, of course, this is when Tess and Catherine's love of her life, George, meet. So George is Catherine's boss, or I should say Jane, because that's her character's name. Yeah. And then Tess, of course, is supposedly out on a night with her friends. Sorry, let me go back and say that again. She's she's out on the town with her friends, but ends up showing up at the club. And, of course, it's love at first sight between her and George.
Of course.
And she, of course, finds out that George is like this wonderful man, philanthropist, you know, vegan, does everything by the book and does it right. So she kind of fakes her own personality so that he'll like her more. But I do like this feels very of the time as well. Again, another dress I never would have worn myself, but
yeah.
I think it's cute on her. She wears a lot of very like, again, I think everything is very revealing for a reason. Like the costume designer clearly made those choices to emphasize her sexuality in comparison to Katherine Heigl's kind of dowdiness.
Yeah.
But she looks good in yellow. No notes on this one.
It's cute.
I couldn't find any shots of this dress, but because I think in 2019 they actually had a reunion and like talked about doing a sequel for this movie.
Oh.
Of course, then COVID happened and nothing came of it. But but because of that, I think a lot of stuff is actually going on sale. Like a lot of their clothing is going on sale now from the movie. So I was able to pull up this dress. But this is the dress basically that Tess wears on kind of her first official date with George. And they go to a baseball game. Which is where she kind of lies about her own personality and everything she's interested in just to impress George. But I kind of love this dress. Like I can't tell what I hate or love about it yet.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. Just,
it's got some really beautiful details. I do love this little like geometric cutout because it's not like a true straight normal halter that you would think about. But I feel like it's done very well. It almost looks like a denim. I can't, it's hard to like really tell because in the actual movie, it almost looks black. Which is why I was trying so hard to find pictures and just couldn't. And then I found this. This was great. This is like a really nice zoom in of whatever material. Yeah,
I live for pictures like this. It's like well lit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and it's bright. Like you can't see it on the actor, but. But yes, because on the actor, they never show her really below her waist. So it almost, I thought it was a top and pants at first or like a separate, you know, skirt or something. But I do love that it's a dress and it's got some really interesting details. And I don't have any pictures of the back, but the front is beautiful. No notes about that either. this is probably, I guess, a slightly less casual look for James Marsden. But again, it's still the same. Like, he had a lot of layers. It was always, like, jeans with some sort of, like, kind of casual blazer with an open shirt. But then he was always wearing a T-shirt underneath. So it's a lot of layering for him. A lot of, like, very casual kind of breezy layers, which I think helps indicate his character. But also feels very blasé for him in particular as an actor. But this is when he ends up going to Jane's house to do some more interviews. And of course, she has to put on all of her 27 dresses so that he can take photos of everything because he ends up writing sort of an expose about her without her knowing, of course. He says he's doing it for the wedding, but anyways,
not good.
There needs to be some sort of climax that causes a rift before they.
Yeah, we need a third act. A third act breakup. Yeah.
Again, no notes. I was trying to pull a couple more pictures of the guys just because I didn't get a ton of pictures of the guys because again, most of this movie is about boring. The dresses. And they look so schlubby that I was like, ooh, I do not miss the jacket size and shape of this time period.
Oh my God. Yeah. So oversized. and baggy.
Yeah. It's awkward. Like, it kind of went back to the 80s, but like worse, like more schlubby. Yeah. Like at least the 80s felt like there were still like power shoulders, but.
Well, yeah, like it felt like they were doing something. It was like, it felt on purpose. I watched the first Iron Man recently, which is from 2008. Mm. And it looked like they were wearing their dad's suits. Yeah. Like they looked like children wearing their dad's suits. I was like, I can't believe how dated this looks. And I did not expect it to look.
Yeah, like it wasn't like they repurposed it. It kind of just felt like they just stole dad's jacket and wore it. And tried like to make
the pants
it
had so much pooling on the bottom, mm-hmm. so much just like extra fabric. I was like, what were we doing? I was in fashion school starting in 2009. Yeah. Like, what a hard time for me to have been in fashion school.
So funny.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Okay. So then this is where we start seeing all the bridesmaids' dresses, and none of them are in order because they were just taking random photos of all of them at the same time. So I just pulled,
of course,
I just pulled a few of my select favorites, of course. So this is just a slightly better shot, kind of lit better than some of the photos I found. This was actually, again, I think another interview that Katherine Heigl did. I can't remember from where. Obviously she does not wear this outfit in the movie, but behind her, you can see all the different, some of the different examples out of the 27 dresses. And I will, I will try to show all of them at the very end, but this was just a sort
all of them,
not all of them. It's
I was like, how do you have enough photos like for that?
All of
okay.
them.
Oh
there's
yeah.
Two
all
big
the,
shots of from all the of end. The dresses at once.
Smart. To, yeah.
no,
to
I wasn't doing all 27. Yes, you can see, like, clearly there's a lot of 80s inspiration in some of these. There's a lot of, like, really bad 90s Delia prom dresses in these as well. yeah. Obviously, there was a clear themed wedding in one of her weddings as well, which I'll show a better shot of. But just to sort of give you a glance.
Oh, my gosh.
I pulled this one because this feels so dated. It feels a little so to crazy. Me like some of the lace dresses that I wore as a kid in like the 80s, but then mixed with sort of Victorian era, like which also was very 80s kind of throwback. The 80s did pick up some Victorian era influences, but you know, it's the bad white lace on top of the really bad satin. and of course she's holding other dresses in there too. But again, you can see like how they added hats and lots of other accessory bits to make it look as ugly as possible on Katherine Heigl.
Silliness. Yeah.
So here is her themed wedding dress. Apparently one of her brides was really into Gone with the Wind and really wanted to recreate that. So all of her bridesmaids had this humongous crinoline skirt.
And apparently, plantation cosplay.
Katherine Heigl's favorite dresses, I guess, when that was one of the only notes I found in the interview was that, like, this was her favorite bridesmaid's dress.
I mean, I bet it would be really, it's probably really fun to wear. And I do think that as, like, a Gone with the Wind era look, it's not bad. That's
true,
for sure.
True.
Obviously, like, it looks kooky.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so embarrassing to think of a person having like a plantation wedding. Oh my God.
Yeah, that is
romanticizing
really
that era. No,
thanks.
Nope.
Also, it's just like, it's so much space. They showed
of
a quick shot of like all the bridesmaids trying to stand in a photo together, and like half the bridesmaids were tripping over their skirts, and like groomsmen were tripping over their skirts, and then they were falling over and not being able to get back up. Like, it's just, it's a lot to do.
There's a reason we don't wear that kind of skirt anymore.
It's true.
Day to day.
It's true.
Yeah.
But yes, like the fan, even the little hat that she's got, the bonnet with like the giant orange rose. Again, I don't have any notes. I just wanted to show you all the gloriousness of this dress. then we've got some shorter options, you know, with like the spiral ruffles. Which also feels very dated.
So much of the time, yeah. Oh my gosh.
And like the ice blue kind of is a little bit of a late throwback to Y2K, but again, sort of like none of these dresses have any kind of like tie-in together. So I'm just, this must have been so much fun.
Yeah.
For Thomas to just sort of
fun challenge.
Be like, what is the ugliest thing I can find? How can I make it uglier? Okay. So then I'm interrupting our bridesmaid's dresses with some more of her natural casual dresses when she's out. So Catherine has a conversation with her sister. Their mother died when they were very young, so it's always been their dad raising the two of them. And essentially, Catherine's pretty much raised her younger sisters. Mm-hmm. Just because dad didn't really know what to do with Tess or with two girls in general. So she kind of became like the secondary honorary mom. So she does sort of dress a little bit like that, I think, because she's always had to take that role on. But I love this dress. Again, it's such a casual, like, I just really love the beautiful flower print. And I just think the colors on Catherine look really nice. Like, it is not necessarily a beautiful silhouette, but I feel like this little flutter sleeve is coming back in. Maybe not this long, but but yeah, the pattern is really what I love on her. And I think this also, the shape of this kind of departs a little bit more from some of her office wear, which kind of gives her a much more softer feeling in this scene, especially when she finds out that Tess is essentially trying to have her wedding things location.
Yeah.
Recreate that memory when she's the one that actually remembered a lot of that. And a slightly tragic feeling to this scene. But I love that she's got such a light airiness in her outfit in comparison to everything else.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I will say I do love this only because I think it's actually cute. Had one of these tops when I was this age. But I love the fit of it on her. And just like the small piping detailing on this outfit was one of my favorites, I think, for her.
That's cute.
Just paired with a really cute pair of jeans. And I think this is actually, I'm trying to remember when this was. Do I have another? No, I don't. I was looking at another shot. I think it's towards the end when she's starting to, like, she has a meal with James Marsden. And it's also when she essentially gets drunk and ends up making out with James. Or, I mean, with Kevin, James Marsden's character. Mm-hmm. So this is the outfit that she kind of, like, ends up sort of being vulnerable with him. But I love the bright colors. I love the floral. Again, it's showing that progression in her change, from kind of departing from the black and neutral colors in the office. Okay. When she does go to the wedding, this is actually the rehearsal dinner for Tess. And of course, she's finally reached her breaking point because Tess basically cuts up her mother's vintage wedding dress to create a new fashionable version for herself.
So sad.
And so Jane kind of just loses it. In this like really classy black dress for the rehearsal dinner and says the pre-written script that Tess gives her, but then ends up basically tearing Tess apart and just essentially showing George who she really is, that she's lied about all of these things that he thinks she is. And of course, their wedding gets broken off because of this. But I love that, ironically, this is where she dresses the most like pristine and formal to present this like really deep unraveling of her own kind of like insecurities and everything that's been happening. Of George, so we see sort of the outfits that they had at this time.
A man,
again, purely for the dating of this movie. But I also do love Tess in this really cream. I actually don't mind this dress, but this is also another. This feels very dated.
Yeah,
like I feel like I've definitely seen or worn this dress in 2008. But yes, really lovely on Tess. I think all the dresses on Tess I actually really loved. They did feel dated, but I think they really fit her very well. They showed off what she needed to show off for the character, and I think that was really successful.
Yeah, something can be dated while still looking good. You know, you can be like, I can tell what era this is, and I don't know if I would wear it now, but I can appreciate it for its beauty anyway.
The other thing I did notice in this movie, even though I don't know if it was intentional or not, is I think because Katherine Heigl does have really broad shoulders, guys like a lot of boat necks that sort of helped shape that a little bit more. Because even like even in the bridesmaids' dresses that she wore, there were some very specific like décolletage silhouettes that they used, I think, that helped emphasize certain parts. Mm-hmm. And I, especially when she gets into more of her formal dresses, they definitely look a lot more like they knew her body well.
Right.
So like this dress is probably one of my favorites on her. And then her, this is a better shot of that. And it's, I love that there's like sort of the velvet burnout. It almost looks like there's, it's so tiny. And I wish I could see a better picture of it. But I love that there's just a little bit of shaping to the dress as well, because it feels mm-hmm. very classy. And again, it's that like kind of higher boat neck with the sort of shorter sleeve on top.
Right.
That feels very classic. Okay, if I can zoom back out. Sorry, that picture was so tiny. I really had a hard time finding pictures for this movie as well. Okay, so then Tess's initial dress. Again, the pictures were super fuzzy, but they luckily had sort of an equivalent of what it looks like in a clearer version. But she basically took apart the entire vintage wedding dress, which was like, you know, it's all lace up top. It's very like 70s. She basically kept the lace in the front, which was her homage to her mother. But that's what breaks Jane's
character.
I mean,
it's one thing if it's like everybody talks about it and you agree that that's what you're doing with the dress, right, you know, that can be a beautiful way to treat. But if one of the sisters wants the dress to be saved 100%, then you don't get to cut it up. Like,
well, and she also talked about giving the dress to Jane when she got married afterwards, but she basically leaves her all these like cut pieces.
Scraps,
which she really can't do much with. So,
yeah.
Anyways, very selfish sister, obviously. Yeah. This is where they get in their huge fight. But it is a lovely dress by itself. I believe there was some kind of, I wrote this down somewhere and then I couldn't remember where I wrote it down, but I thought they said that this was actually a dress from France that they ended up getting for this scene, and then sort of making it kind of look like it could have been taken from this, from the pieces of the other dress. But yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. It is, it's a lovely shape on her. It certainly looks like a lot of her other dresses in terms of silhouette on Tess, but yes, far cry from her vintage mother's dress.
I remember thinking at the time, and I still do think that this dress is really chic. Like, the silhouette of it is really chic and, like, effortless looking. It's very, I like
it. And it's, like, simple enough that there's not a lot of fussiness to it. Like, actually having very little lace on it is, it makes it much more contemporary, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then finally, oh no, sorry, this isn't my last picture. I think I have like one more. Oh yeah, two more for the wedding, all the other bridesmaids' dresses. But I wanted to show, obviously, Jane's wedding dress, which of course, the only picture I could find that showed the whole thing was her covering the whole front of it.
Holding the whole bouquet in front of her.
I believe it is like a boat neck. So it, again, it's another sort of more classic shape for her.
Yeah.
But I loved how simple this was. Just the subtle use of the lace. And again, a fairly more traditional look for her. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, her bridesmaids' dresses are probably the most simple out of all the ones she's had to wear.
Yeah.
And then just a picture of James Marsden and his, again, it's this pooling that we're just the, like, look very confused about. How much fabric there is down. like it's the breaking point of these pants is so confusing to me. But, and again, this just looks so wrinkled. Again, he's standing there the whole time, so I'm a little bit like, we couldn't have like steamed this out like before the scene,
because he was sitting for lunch, like,
right. So like, you know, some of it's like, how much of this is realistic of you trying to make it look like he sat, you know, for a while, or how much of it was just the actor not paying attention, or I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows?
Maybe it was just bad fabric that did that. You know, sometimes you're just fighting with it constantly, and you're like, "Ugh, whatever."
This is what happens when costume designers look at details in old movies. But yes, again, just super simple silhouette for the bridesmaids, and then really classic look for, and of course, Katherine Heigl looks good in anything.
I think probably in the plot, like, it's the simplest because she has had to wear so many that are not simple. Yes. So she's like, I'm not going to torture my friends the way that I have been tortured.
It's true. It's true.
But then she also does.
Yes.
She tortures the previous brides.
She does. She does. So then these are the last shots of the brides. I wanted to pull more pictures of Kristen Ritter in the office because she had some pretty great outfits. But she was, ironically, she was literally listed as the goth in the office. The and I was goth. Like, oh, gosh. That's but funny. This was her bridesmaid's dress. Literally as like a spike collar. There's the purple dress that we saw in the beginning. She was also in an Indian wedding, so she's got the sari, the themed crinoline bridesmaid. Yep. We have the cowgirl with the full cowgirl boots and the cowgirl hat. We have the sort of Hugh Hefner Las Vegas dress. Which ironically, because Katherine Heigl is so tall, she all like the flashback they had was her trying to hide behind everyone because the dress was really, really short on her.
So short,
There's obviously the kimono, which I found slightly offensive, but also hilarious. There was also an underwater wedding. So, of course, there's a swimsuit and the little scuba diving gear. I don't know what the theme of this one was, but apparently it was like a really ugly olive putrid colored long dress.
Yeah.
It continues.
There we go.
There's the olive dress, you know, and then we have, of course, the men's suit. This one just looks very matronly.
Yeah.
This one actually probably looks the most normal so far. The light pink.
There's a few in here that are kind of serves.
Yeah. And then
I got a few that are good. I think
this one was the dress. I did have a random note about this. Apparently this one was one of the ones they actually bought on eBay, like either eBay or somewhere online. And they literally called it the Bahama Mama dress. And they were like, it was from an actual wedding. Someone had a bridesmaid wear this. And I was like,
what? Wow. I love that.
So yes, some of these dresses came from real weddings.
That's cool. And actually, I bet some of the 80s ones were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the 80s shoulders and this green one and even this pink one here is very, very 80s. I think this was one of the ones where it was like the men wore dresses and the girls wore suits. Or maybe that was this one.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But anyways, you can see different eras of influence in some of these dresses. But again, the sheer amount of dress shopping they had to do and research on bad weddings that they had to do. But yes, so that's my last photo. Just thought I'd share that fun collection of dresses for you all. And apparently because they all went on sale pretty recently, like in 2019, I guess there were quite a lot of people that were actually trying to buy some of these dresses for legitimate weddings. Like either it was a nostalgic throwback wedding and they were just, you know, throwing back to that time, or some of them like legitimately were trying to do either themed weddings or, but that kind of boggles my mind. Like some of these dresses are pretty heinous.
Yeah.
So, that's all the notes I had.
Wow. Amazing. What a good
stop
time.
Share. There you go. So yes, I will say, like, even if this movie didn't do well, I think it's still one of my favorites because I also just really love Katherine Heigl and James Marsden's chemistry in this movie.
They have great chemistry.
I just think they work really well together, and I don't know, just everything. I also just really love James Marsden and Katherine Heigl separately in all their movies. But yes, so those are all my notes. No other notes.
Wow.
Yeah, not a lot of interviews, but yes, definitely some interesting costumes to look at for this movie.
Yeah, what a fun one to revisit.
Yeah.
And a little bit long today, so I'm going to sign us off so that you can go to bed.
Thanks. Thanks, Sarah. Sleep is nice.
Much for listening, friends. Always, as always, get in touch on social media if you would like. And yeah, get it. Please rate and review us. And we appreciate your listenership so much.
Yeah.
And throw us some requests if you have any.
Yes.
That's it.
We'll see you next month. Very soon.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Costume Plot. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Costume Plot. If you have a question, comment, or a movie suggestion, you can email us at thecostumeplot@gmail.com.
Our theme music is by Jesse Timp, and our artwork is by Jojo Siu. Please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts.